There is a thin veil that protects humanity from the horrors and darkness of the other. Within the other lives everything that our minds can bring to imagination. Or maybe it is not imagination at all, and just a thinly veiled reality that our mind cannot believe to be true. The veil is the will of humanity to protect the innocent from the dangerous and the horrible. A pursuit to ensure that the darkness of the other does not consume the world. The vanguard are those who uphold the veil, who know the truth of the horrors and fight it every day to protect the innocent. They must ensure that the balance is maintained and the darkness held at bay. We are the vanguard of the veil. Welcome, everyone, to another session of the Vanguard of the Veil, a Monster of the Week actual play podcast powered by the Apocalypse System. I am your keeper, Fred, and my pronouns are he, him, and starring with us today, Josh.
Hello, it's me. I play Amos, and our pronouns are he, him.
Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex. I play Agatha Payne. My pronouns are both, and hers are she, her.
Steph.
Hey, everybody. I play Natalia, a character whose last name I definitely remember, and both of our pronouns are she, her.
Matthew.
Hey, everybody. I play Agent C, and our pronouns are he, him.
Okay, so we are on the story track with the agency, or Josh affectionately calls Team C.
C-team, baby.
It's been a while since we've recorded with this group of hunters. So Matthew, why don't you get us caught up?
On the last time we saw these characters on The Vanguard of the Veil, Mr. Doherty learns a hard lesson about not taking care of the people who work for you as Tiffany continues to use magic to mess with him. After pulling a gross slug from his mouth, he summons fire and transforms into a devil. Occultist Balon Rusk shows up to help the agency hunters to defeat the monster. Once they've discovered the devil's name, Bale, they are able to do actual harm to it. Defeating the devil, the team departs, leaving Tiffany to die alone on the floor.
We find ourselves on a crisp Friday night in Mea Culpa, California. This is the hometown or the area of the headquarters of where the agency found their roots. And we find Agency and Amos walking the downtown streets of Mea Culpa. You find that there are many people out and about, and it seems rather busy for a standard night, especially in such a sleepy little town. You overhear conversations of passerbys or people walking in front of you. What are the two of you doing? What are you guys talking about?
Holding hands. What are we talking about?
I feel like, you know, it's a Friday night, you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's working for the weekend, so you know, we're probably out grabbing a meal as comrades.
Wink. This is where, wait, is your office here?
You work for the agency, right? I mean,
yeah, but like, yeah, you have your own office in the agency building, so you're,
no, I mean, we're like, we probably went out to eat
together, yes, but what,
yeah,
I'm
not,
I'm
at, we're not at my office.
No, but your office is here.
My office
town.
Is
this
my
city,
office,
yes.
And the rest of the agency is
in like
Mea Culpa,
a building that
sick.
Your personal office is within, as opposed to,
okay,
like,
I'm
your
gonna listen. I'm taking a liberty here. You haven't been in your office all day. I haven't let you be there. I've kept you distracted with various outings. Wink.
And as you have that conversation, you hear a young couple talk about what sounds like a new haunted house that shows up nearby. So is it true? Like, supposedly, like, they lace the grounds around this house with like hallucinogens so that when you go in, you freak out. That can't be true. I mean, just think about the logistics of that, and it would be a complete waste of money. I mean, why would they go to that trouble? I mean, it's just a haunted house. Yeah, but I've also heard that people have gone missing and it just shows up out of nowhere and then it disappears. Like, it's there for a couple of days. That's what I've been hearing. And then it pops up somewhere else. It's got to be like one of those groups where they just like build overnight and nobody realizes until that it's there. And as you hear this conversation happen, out of the corner of your eye, Agent C, your spidey senses start to tingle and you see something coming out of the alleyway nearby.
Yes, and?
What looks like a, I don't know, shambling figure with tattered clothes and, I don't know, maybe blood or some kind of liquid splattered on its face. It starts to kind of shamble towards the couple that you've been somewhat trailing behind, and you feel as though they are going to collide.
I'm watching, baby.
Yeah, these are the mean streets of Mea Culpa. What's you know, a person doing some sort of viral advertising if not a normal thing?
And you allow this shambling person or whatever it is come out of the alleyway, and it immediately starts to lunge towards this young couple that you have been listening to.
Okay, fine. I'll roll read a bad situation.
Protect someone?
Sure, fine. I'll protect somebody. No, I'm bad at tough.
I mean, I feel like if you read a bad situation, like that situation's going to happen.
I mean, well, I guess the question would is it a bad situation, or is this just...
I mean, you...
Or is it viral marketing?
Maybe that's like how they cover up the supernatural, by pretending it's viral social media. And, you know, maybe that's what the agency does.
Wait, so Amos is your social media manager now?
Yes.
It could be.
Act under pressure or protect someone. You could read a bad situation if you want. You know what the answer is? It's bad.
Okay, I will.
So like Fred, I'll say that. Like, so it's very, very clear that this is not a hoax. There is about to be critical damage taking place on the side of the road.
I mean, you would have to investigate a mystery or read a bad situation, right? I mean,
I will. My gut says to investigate a mystery on this. How's that?
Okay.
That is a 9 on the dice plus investigating mystery sharp. Plus 1 is 10.
Okay. You can ask me 2 questions, maybe 3.
Fred, what sort of creature is it?
It's definitely a human. I mean, as far as you could tell.
What is being concealed here?
Well, it's probably what? Some kid in a costume. It's close to Halloween. You're hearing about haunted houses. It's probably just a child playing a prank on people, right?
Do I take this opportunity to assume that this child is going to assault these people so that I in turn can punch a child, or do I let it happen?
Or do you tell Amos and Amos handles it violently?
Does Amos wait for Agent C to direct Amos, or
at this moment Amos is like, oh bitch, we're about to see street drama, I'm excited, because I'm thinking this is going to be people in the street arguing, and me, Amos, and also Josh loves when that happens. But if Agent C is like, oh no, that thing is going to hurt those people, I will act.
But you know it's human. You know it's not a monster.
I don't. I assume it's human. I assume
you
it's human.
Don't. Yeah.
I'm going to say something under my breath like, what is this son of a gun going to be doing?
Oh, okay. Then I'm in. I'm back in for like, oh, it's about to be antics on the road. Hell yeah.
Amos is just eating popcorn.
Yeah, I'm like, yes.
It might be one of those things like we slow down a little bit, let them get a little bit more distance in front of us because we don't want to get wrangled into this.
Yeah.
And you don't. And as you kind of slow your pace and take a step back, this shambling person that comes out of the alleyway basically accosts one of the two people that you have been following, and or just walking behind, I should say. You're not following these people. And there is a sharp yelp, a cry of surprise they are grappled by this person. And you can see that there is a small struggle and then a burst of laughter and giggles as the young person who's dressed up as a zombie looking for some kind of, you know, reaction from the other couple. And you can see that they know each other and they're kind of like laughing. The young woman punches the person dressed up as a zombie and the three of them continue to walk on and continue to talk about this supposed haunted house.
I laugh.
And with that, you enjoy the rest of your evening out. It's nice to
kind of take the uniform off and, you know, enjoy yourself.
So true. I mean, if that's going to be the end of our day, I would like to get Agent C back to his office.
For any specific reason?
Yes.
I don't want to go back to the office.
No, I want to take it back to the office. Just to, like, I had to drop something off.
And you do so. What do you drop off?
We go into Agent C's office. Agent C, do you turn the lights on in your office?
Yes, I will turn the lights on.
You see a beautiful, handcrafted, with a perfectly burnt finish, brand new desk.
Oh.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like a one of those, what are those things you char the top of? And then a creme brulee. I thought you were going to give me a creme brulee or something.
Oh,
I can make you that anytime you want, just by waving my hand over something. But no, I make you a brand new desk. I'd made it all week, and then I got a chip tier, and I kept you out of the office so it would get here and surprise you.
What happened to my other desk that I was using?
I torched it, remember?
Yeah, that was like 6 months ago.
Yeah, and then you had that other desk that kind of sucked, so I got you this one.
I had stuff in that desk.
It's all in this desk. I was meticulous.
You went through my personal desk?
Not really. Your secretary or whoever did. I was with you the whole day. I didn't touch anything.
You look, you check. The bottle of Evan Williams is still there.
In the exact same spot.
Obviously, what's going to happen is Agent C is a very particular individual. He's been working this desk job for some time, and he finally has his own office. He's not in the pit with everybody else, so he walks around the desk, runs his hand over the top to feel the finish, pulls out his chair, sits in it, slides in, makes sure the height's good. You know, he makes sure his knees don't hit or anything like that. Goes for the drawers. He doesn't look to see what's in the drawers. He just wants to feel how the drawers are when he opens and closes them. You know, do they have just the right amount of resistance?
Did it have that thing where, like, if you try to close it too fast, it'll, like, stop and slowly close?
Ooh.
Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
your
yeah.
swing line stapler is missing.
I've been studying the desk.
I don't use staples. Paper clips.
It's a paper clip, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got this. I've been studying and analyzing this desk to get it perfection.
Great agent, you're here. I'm glad to see that you're working the midnight oil.
Having a moment, okay.
Delilah walks in.
Delilah, it's like 6:30.
Yes.
Well, I just had Chipotle. We have maybe a half an hour tops.
Yeah, yeah. He went heavy on that. Those fucking beans, babe.
Well, I'm glad you're still here because I'm currently briefing your two new recruits, Agatha and Natalia, who is here with me, and they walk in.
Look at the desk I made.
Did we deal with their papers? Can they stay here? Is that fine?
We've worked it out with the embassy. Yes, they will be getting a working visa as they work with us here at the agency. They're work authorized aliens.
Aliens, you say?
Cool.
Authorized aliens.
Yes.
Understood. And have they been read in for security clearance purposes, signed all their NDAs, et cetera, et cetera? Have we properly onboarded them into our infrastructure here at the agency?
Well, of course, agents.
Yes, we had the DeLorientation.
Yes, the DeLorientation.
Yes, there was a culture building and sexual harassment training. And then there was a pizza party, which was fun.
Oh, nice.
I didn't think we had the budget for pizza.
We had to provide own pizza. I would not eat of course. Terrible American pizza anyways. I have pizza shipping from London.
Yes, delicious Papa McSqueezy's pizza.
Papa McSqueezy's from London.
He's
pizza.
National yeah. hero.
Yes.
You keep his name out your mouth.
Which, by the way, for Natalia, you did recently receive a very large deposit into your account. It is from some shell company that was probably associated to the Doherty House magnate franchise company, and you are $1 million richer.
Delightful. I never actually look at my bank accounts. I just have Agatha do that.
That's fair. So Agatha, you were made aware of an extremely large deposit.
Right. Keep it in the books.
There's been reports of disappearances lately. I would like for you to look into this, agent.
Okay.
Missing persons isn't exactly agency business. That normally falls under the local law enforcement.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. But when it comes to the content matter that I'm about to present to you, I think it definitely falls into our purview.
Delilah, did you bury the lead?
I did.
Where?
You know me. I like to bury leads all the time.
Consider me unsurprised.
You two need to just fuck already. Good Lord.
Okay, all right, let's calm down.
Agatha, one thing at a time.
I didn't say anything.
Delilah, one thing at a time. Natalia, one thing at a time. Too
many characters. Oh, the Chipotle's kicking in, guys. I can feel sweating already.
Minutes.
So there's been a rash of disappearances lately, mostly young adults, the ages of 18 to 24. There's been a lot of chatter online about a haunted house that pops up out of nowhere and then disappears. This is very time sensitive, agent, and I feel like we need to get to this immediately and see what it is behind these disappearances. Unfortunately, some of the more prestigious people of Mea Culpa have recently lost some children, and it is very important that we get down to this.
It's money.
18 to 24, that's prime military recruiting age.
Exactly, agent.
We need them now more than ever, with recruiting numbers dropping as far as they are, as low as they are.
Well,
do we have any leads on perhaps where we could find this haunted house that seems to be mysteriously appearing and disappearing?
Is it called Spirit Halloween?
Unfortunately, there is no name for this haunted house, but there has been some chatter online that it is popping up tonight in a nearby city called Madre Linda.
Mother Linda.
Yes.
Madre Linda?
Yep, Madre Linda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a reference to a TV show. Of you load up into Agent C's van, although roomy, definitely uncomfortable. You drive about 20 minutes outside of Mea Culpa and find yourselves in the sleepy suburbs of Madre Linda. You notice that there isn't a lot going on here. It's actually quite small in comparison to Mea Culpa, which isn't a large city to begin with, and you find yourself in just tract housing. Just rows and rows of homes that look just like each other, you know, very similar, nothing spectacular.
Very California.
But when you enter into one of the residential home streets, you see a lot of activity, a lot of parked cars and people walking towards what looks like a dead end that ends in a field. Upon the field itself, there is a large black house, and all of these people are going towards it. A small crowd has started to kind of form outside of this house, and you have to assume that this is that pop-up haunted house.
I think that's the pop-up haunted house.
Amos, I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure we could hit it from here if we just had a rocket launcher. Or...
Yeah, did you bring the tripod?
Why waste the ammo?
Careful, everybody. There's civilians here. Plus, we still didn't even know what's going on with this place.
True.
As Agency grabs, like, his shotgun and, like, just... straps up.
As the four of you start to make your way down the street.
Do we match?
You can.
Do our outfits match? I am 100% matching agency. I'm matching agency like to a T.
Yeah, that's actually most of what Natalia and Agatha did this week is we went shopping for all black clothing.
Yeah.
Very fashion though.
Yeah, my cowboy hat was already black, so.
So you're wearing like a black suit and a black cowboy hat?
Or do you have one of those like those black, like the like cowboy jacket, like a cowboy jacket normally would be brown with like the tassels coming down, but it's black with like white like studs or barks on it.
I don't have the fringe. Suit. Yeah, I don't have the fringe, but it's definitely like a very practical rancher jacket that is black and then like a black button down tucked into my black denim.
And you got a bolo tie.
I don't know why, but I'm picturing like the Matador outfit where it's like a small jacket that like cuts off the
puffy pants.
Stomach.
Dinner jacket with a cummerbund.
Yeah.
I think I know why, Fred. I think I see in your brain what you're after. And I'll let you have that.
So Natalia and Agatha, do you have suits or is it just black clothing?
I'm in like black athleisure. So, you know, leggings.
Lululemon, but black.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Lemon.
So it's very flexible, very expensive. There's like no labels or logos anywhere.
That's how you know it's expensive, when there's no label or logo.
What about Agatha? I feel like Agatha would wear a suit.
Yes, but it's like a good personal assistant suit. Sensible heels, a skirt, nice suit jacket.
Nice.
And then presumably our like golf caddy bag full of guns.
That's I was about to ask. Golf caddy bag full of guns. Is it like a, a sleek black like golf caddy bag though?
Yeah, like a
like black duffel bag.
You know it.
Lots of pockets.
Yeah.
Those two are probably mad sleek. I'm fairly. It's my outfit is humble but very clean, very sharp, but very clean. But you know, definitely nothing like fancy. And then we all know Agent C.
Off the rack, it's
extremely pressed and starched.
Zip-off shorts.
The four of you walk alongside four other younger adults. They excitedly talk about getting into the haunted house and being scared. A person starts to walk towards you. They are by themselves, walking away from the home. And the younger teens are like, how was it? Was it scary? The woman who's walking towards you does not respond. And after passing you, starts to make retching noises and vomits on the ground as she cries and stumbles away. Wow, it must be that scary. They walk up excitedly towards the door.
Are they serving drinks here?
Yeah, so you said there's a lot of activity. Is there like a line to get in? Is it just sort of a, like, is there somebody selling tickets or anything like that?
So you walk up to maybe a crowd of about 15 to 20 people. They're all standing about 12 feet away from the home, still on the street. Interestingly enough, the curb that you walk up to is kind of like one of those dead end of the street going into a field curb. And then this house just sits on this field, very close to that curb. The house is all black, and there are no like visible windows with lights coming through. Everything as if it was spray painted black. It seems to just absorb the light. There is a small light on the porch that barely illuminates the walkway, but the street light from the neighborhood that you're currently in does illuminate this house. There is a very nondescript black door, and there currently is a group of about 8 people standing in front of this door. And you see one of them start to knock on the door. There is a long, pregnant pause as everybody just kind of waits to see what happens. Then you hear a knocking from the inside, maybe a click of a latch, and the door opens, and the 8 people excitedly enter the house, and the door closes behind it.
And can we, is there like a, do we see a person who opened the door, or just looks like the door kind of opened itself, as far as we could tell?
There's nobody outside. And the door was probably opened from the inside, but once again, it is so dark that it almost just absorbs light and you're unable to see within the doorway.
All right, are we going to take bets on how many of them die and how many of them come back? Or
oh my
is
God.
It just sort of a, you know, what are we're going to make this interesting, right?
Exactly. Fred, yeah. While we're all talking about it, I want to read a bad situation.
Absolutely.
I actually have bonuses to sharp. As opposed to the negative, I got an 8.
Okay, so you are partially successful.
I can
hold
one.
Is there any specific question you'd like to ask?
Are there any dangers we haven't noticed?
You feel that everything about this house is dangerous. You're unable to pinpoint what the gut feeling that you're getting is, but there is some kind of foul or fell magic here, and it's emanating from the house.
Sick.
Whether it is the house itself or some creature within the house, something is making people disappear.
Got it. I will do the special code between me and Agency. I'm going to reach out while we're talking about placing bets. I'm going to reach out from my pocket with my left hand and grab Agency's hand next to me. Like, I'm going to hold his hand and be like, my hands are cold, which is my in Agency not to scare the people around us way of communicating that big magic dangerous blah 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 to Agency but holding
something, his hand. The something's wrong because obviously his hands would never be cold.
My hands are never cold, so I do. I'm like, hey, yeah, my hands are a little cold.
I think I get it. I mean, there's something obviously weird about this place.
It's extremely spooky.
I mean, it's like the pretty plain haunted house.
Fred, I would like to do a lap around the house and kind of just see if we can get a look back entrances or just any other distinguishing features about it?
Yeah,
you any walk, utilities plugged into it or anything like that?
You walk around the house and it is definitely reminiscent of like a Victorian style house, you know, big front porch. It looks like maybe an entrance to a mudroom on the side of the house. There is a sunroom in the back of the house. But once again, like all of the windows are blacked out. All of the wood of the home is black, whether it was spray painted or was some type of black wood. And everything about this house makes you feel like it does not belong here. You know, there is no pipes that are coming from the ground into the home. You don't know how this could have been constructed overnight without anybody being made aware of it. There is definitely something supernatural about this home.
Does it have a mailbox?
No, it does not.
Okay.
It sits at the end of a street at a dead end on a field.
I was gonna see if we could get like an address or something.
Right. You said it sits on the field. Are you Correct. Saying that in particularly in that way, as if it like
plopped down,
you know, when like a child draws a cartoon and they just kind of put the house on the ground, so there's like do you know what I'm saying? Like it's just kind of it's not like
the ground at all.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's not like it's sunk in or anything. Like, it's just kind of literally like just plopped. Resting on top of the ground.
Yeah, so normally a home would be on like a cement foundation, right? There would be cement around the home, oftentimes based off of maybe driveways. This house, like, there's just dirt and grass all around the perimeter of this house, as if somebody just created a home directly onto dirt-packed field.
No driveway, no walk up to the door.
No garage, no driveway. There is no paved walkway up to the door. Imagine a dead-end street where you have all of these houses with driveways on the left and right-hand side. There's a sidewalk. The sidewalk ends at this field, and so does the street. And at the end of the street, there is like one of those barriers that prevent cars from driving up onto the field.
Yeah.
And you look behind the home, and it is just a dark field. Seems like it goes on for half a mile, and you can see other homes and other neighborhoods to the left and right, and even at the very end of this field, more than likely just undeveloped land. You know, like they stopped developing this tract housing there, and they're probably going to continue to develop at one point. Interestingly enough, too, all of the homes here, you would think there would be like more commotion because of the amount of young adults that have come to this neighborhood on a Friday night to this house that just exists now. But yet there doesn't seem to be any activity from what we would consider the locals of this neighborhood. None of the homes seem to be disturbed and they're all quiet.
Do they have lights on at all?
Some of them do, you know, presumably like somebody watching a TV or, you know, maybe somebody staying up doing homework. But I mean, it's about 10 o'clock at night now, you know, maybe a little earlier, I would say maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Oh man, I would love to interrupt one of these people at home in their sweatpants watching TV right. on a Friday night.
I mean, we could do that.
I think we should not directly interface with the plot device, but rather we should go and add ancillary characters into this to learn more about the situation.
We could do that.
And as agency comes around the house, you express everything that you've observed, and the four young adults that you kind of had walked alongside overhearing their conversations, they step up the porch and walk up to the door due to the fact that the first group of eight have already entered, and they read a sign that's above the door, and the sign says, "Only eight may enter at a time. Knock and wait for the door to be unlocked." So the four of them walk up and they kind of look around. The other 15 to 20 people, they just still kind of hover around. They're all talking, smoking cigarettes. Some of them are drinking. They're laughing. Some of them are dressed up. They're cavorting. But none of them step up to the home. Would you like to go to the nearby house and add ancillary characters.
No, there's lots of Fred, characters here for us to talk to. That's
fair. Fred, I would love to interrogate a middle-aged guy who's seen too much crap in his life to deal with the situation and have you name them, and I would love you to give them a voice and all of these wonderful things. However, you have laid before us a very tantalizing opportunity to participate in your story. So I volunteer to do that if everyone will join me on that.
I would love to know all of these youths' first, last names, what streets they grew up in, and their greatest fears and joys in life.
Yeah, this is an Alex's podcast.
And what
podcast.
University they went to.
So as you step up to the porch and join the other four people that are looking to walk in, do you introduce yourselves to them?
No, but we definitely ask them who they are.
Amos would introduce himself.
So what are you guys? Like a mariachi band?
I'm agency. I'm with the agency. Don't worry, this isn't loaded.
I'm Amos.
Oh, okay. Cool. Whatever, guys. I'm Joan, and this is my boyfriend River and my friend Phoebe and her date Brock.
Too many kids named River these days.
Phoebe, Brock, and the Reaver.
Yeah.
Hey, what'd you guys know about this place?
It's like a triple date. This is cute.
So we've heard like this is like one of those pop-up haunted houses. Very mysterious. There's no like marketing. You just kind of hear about it and you go, and like you have to go the night you hear about it because typically they're gone within like a day. So I'm like super excited that they came to Madre Linda.
This is a deep indictment of the American housing system, I think, more than like a spooky marketing thing.
Yeah. This does though sound like parties I went to in college.
It feels like a metaphor is here somewhere.
Are we sure this isn't just landlords trying to evict tenants by making their houses seem unsuitable for life?
God, you must be fun at parties. And then Brock walks up to the door and just knocks on it.
I'm fun at parties.
Is Brock?
I'm very fun at parties. Who said I wasn't fun at parties? Agatha, I'm fun at parties, right?
River.
Absolutely, ma'am.
See? She says.
I can only name three of them.
Joan, River, Phoebe, Brock.
Phoebe.
Phoebe.
Phoebe. Phoebe.
Do you get paid to agree with her? One of them speaks to Agatha.
Don't talk to me.
They're both fun at parties.
Meanwhile, Amos, the most friendly one, they are ignoring.
the puppy dog in black, like.
Catching you off guard, another knock comes from the doorway, but it comes from the other side. And then you hear a click of what must be a latch. And the door opens with, of course, the quintessential creaking noise of a door that opens. And the door opens into what looks like the yawning portal of darkness, as it is incredibly dark within this house. Do you step in?
What does it smell like?
It smells like oiled oak and sulfur.
Hot. Flashlight.
Okay. You both turn on your flashlight. You both point your gun flashlights.
Yes.
And you can see that it is like an innocuous waiting room. It's it's all black decor on the inside. And you step in and there is another doorway in front of you. And as the eight of you kind of pile in, the four of them are kind of giggling and excited. You know, Phoebe's holding on to Brock and
can I River's assume they all have their phones out with their lights on their phones?
Oh, 100%. And it barely creates enough illumination where truly without your flashlights, you would not be able to see in this room where light just seems to disappear. The door closes behind you with a loud resounding thud, and you look above the door in front of you and it reads, "Enter if you wish to experience despair."
I love despair. Fred, I'm going to turn around and press my thumb against the door that's behind us, and I'm just going to put a little bit of my magic in. I'm just going to see what happens if I little thumb burning thumbprint. No, because I want to be in here.
Wait, so I don't understand. What are you doing?
I'm just going to burn my thumbprint onto the door.
Okay,
just mark it with magic a little bit. See what happens.
So you're going to do an arcane mark and you're going to leave your thumbprint
real subtle. Like
this was the front door.
Yeah. Something real subtle. No one probably notices that I did it. It probably just looks like I'm like, oh no, I'm stuck in here.
You're pretending to check the door and you're like, oh, we're locked in. And then you mark it.
Yeah.
Okay. You do so.
Red, is there any decor or anything?
Just what looks like a side table that has a vase with flowers in it, all black.
Sick.
Cool.
I really like to go with the theme.
Are these kids being, like, annoying?
I would say, like, they're in a state of both excitement and fear. Whether or not they're annoying would just be how you take it.
But oh, right. Okay.
They're not overly talkative. They're not overly, you know, ridiculous. They
nervous
are probably
giggling.
Yeah, they're like in this anxious state, right? Where they're like, oh my God, like, are we gonna do this? Like, is this happening?
They're having the experience right
oh,
now.
Oh, they're definitely having the experience. Are you guys having the experience?
For me, this is just a Friday.
We're having a experience.
I'm gonna lean over to Natalia and say, ma'am, I know I say this quite often, but you were the only youth I've ever been able to tolerate.
This is so nice. Thank you. I tolerate you too.
Appreciate it, ma'am.
Does anybody open the door?
Phoebe, open the door.
Wait, what? What? Why? I'm not going to open the door.
Oh, your little chicken shit?
Hey, calm down, old woman. Okay, cool. Like,
oh,
I'll open the door.
Okay, I think agency might laugh at that.
How old are you, Natalia?
Like 33.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, so, okay, yeah, I kind of turn... Okay, when he says that to Natalia, I turn away from Natalia and Agatha and, like, put my arm kind of around Agent C a little bit and just kind of, like...
Amos takes off his hat and starts fanning himself with it.
Like, I'm trying not to laugh because I was like, damn.
Brock steps up, places his hand gingerly on the black doorknob. Dude,
toxic masculinity takes over.
And opens the door. Well, at least I opened the door. You didn't do anything. And he steps in.
You guys are like making an impenetrable wall of puberty in front of us. It's really weird.
So you had to say that because you couldn't bear to the start to take command from a woman. No, I get it. Yeah, no, you're big strong. You opened the door yourself.
Anyways. You didn't demand me. You demanded Phoebe to open the door.
Hey, door's open. Let's go.
Admittedly, I'm having more fun doing this than I thought.
And as the eight of you step into an illuminated room, so you don't need the flashlights anymore. The room is rather interesting. It is quite bare. The walls aren't adorned with anything. And the only two things that really exist on the walls is the doorway that you came in through and a fireplace. But what captures your attention are the eight half columns that adorn the room. And upon the columns are busts, ceramic stone head busts. As each of you walk around to kind of observe these busts, Joan goes, oh my God, is that me? And she is looking at this bust, and as you look, you can see that it is in her likeness. And then Brock's like, whoa, how did they do this? And he is staring at the likeness of himself. And as each of you go to each of these busts, you realize that one of these belonged to you in the perfect likeness of your face and your upper body. And all eight of you are kind of just observing these small statues.
Fred, what does mine look like? Does it look like just agency?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it definitely, okay. It's Charlie.
What are these made of?
You touch it, you kind of like knock on it. It is some kind of hollow ceramic or stone.
Oh, you get a nice piece of sculpture, but like this, and I kind of poke it a little bit, and you know, it's so it can show that it's hollow, and it's a shoddy craftsmanship. Like, come on, get me some marble, get me some bronze, and then I will be impressed.
Shall we see what happens when we shatter Brock's?
Ooh, yes, great idea.
Why mine? I don't get it.
Too late, and I kick his I off the point. Like,
Daya, no. And as Agent C half-heartedly tries to prevent Natalia from kicking over the half column with a bust of Brock on it, you can see that he does not prevent Natalia, and Natalia easily kicks this half column. And as the column starts to tip backwards, the bust starts to tip forward. And as the bust smashes across the ground, creating a noise that is much larger than you expected. It's kind of like echoing from the empty room and the high vaulted like ceiling. The lights go out and it is pitch blackness in the room.
Spooky.
Interesting.
You hear a scream, more than likely Joan or Phoebe. It feels like many seconds have gone on. It is just as pregnant as can be of a pause. As you go to grab your flashlight upon your gun, Natalia, you click the flashlight on and the lights turn on at the same time. The first thing that you notice as the lights come on is that each of the busts that were before you now has a different facial expression. You look upon your bust, Natalia, and there is an expression of great anguish and despair locked upon the ceramic face of yourself. And each of you, as you look at each of your busts, each one has this look of pure fear, despair, anguish. And then you look over at the column and destroyed bust of Brock. But Brock is not there. Where Brock once stood, there is only an incredibly wet, dark smear of blood that slides away from where he was standing towards a doorway to the right of the fireplace that you observed before, where there was no doorway before. And above this door, there is a placard that reads Room 2. And that is where we're going to call it. Hey everyone, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to our new GeekLink project, Vanguard of the Veil. If you're interested in learning more about our podcast, follow us on Twitter at Vanguard Veil. If you want to hear more shows like ours, then check out Cthulhu and Friends and Greeting Adventurers, which is a part of the GeekLink network. If you want to follow the people that creates this show, you can follow the Keeper, Fred, at I Think I'm Fred. Professor Gunderson is played by Matthew at Matthew M. Morris. Deandra is played by Alex at Happy Puke. Spin is played by Josh at Josketh. Artemisia is played by Steph at Steph O. Kingston. Our show is also edited and produced by Kieran at Mr. K _Bennett, and all music and sound effects are courtesy of Epidemic Sounds.